As everybody knows, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the leader of the Jewish people at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Many people are familiar with the story that the Gemara relates. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was snuck out of Yerushalayim at a time when many of the fellow Jews wanted to fight with the Romans. He wanted to make a deal with the Romans for the sake of preserving Torah, for the sake of preserving the family of the Nasi or Gamliel and so on, which he was successful in striking a deal with Vespasian, who was then the general shortly thereafter the emperor. And he surrendered Yerushalayim, quite a difficult decision, I'm sure, to have had to make, but he surrendered Yerushalayim in exchange for preserving Torah. So the Gemara relates that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai promulgated certain takanos in the years after the Churban that in the category of Zeicher LeMikdash, the specific discussion there in the Gemara in Sukkah, as would make sense, or Gemara in Sukkah, discussing the idea of taking the lulav and esrog all 7 days of Sukkot, leaving out Shabbos, but the whole week of Sukkot, which the Torah doesn't require. The Torah requires taking the lulav and esrog only on the first day of Sukkot. It's an explicit pasuk, l'kach b'lachem b'yom rishon. It's not required the rest of the week, other than in the mikdash. Again, the Chazal learned how we derived that from the pasuk. It's not going to go into the halachas of it now. But Lemaisa, in the Mikdash, it took the Levan Esrog all week long. But everywhere else, outside the Mikdash, according to some Rishonim, outside Yerushalayim, they took the Levan Esrog on Sukkot. Only the first, sitting in a Sukkah, that's the whole week. But the Levan Esrog is only the first day. But Yochanan ben Zakkai says the Mishnah instituted that as a Zecher, to remember what they used to do in the Mikdash, we should take the Levan Esrog all week long, which again is our practice to this day, again leaving out Shabbos. Now, the Gemara asks, why did Yochanan ben Zakkai make such a takana? Why did Yochanan ben Zakkai have to institute such a decree? The Mishnah lists another decree that he made. Again, it's a Tisha B'Av, so we won't learn the dinim now. So the Gemara says, well, it's because he wanted to recall, he wanted people to remember what happened in the Mikdash. The Gemara then asks, Minayan, how do we know that there's such a concept? Where did he get that idea that it's important to remember what used to take place in the Mikdash? He quotes this pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed, which includes the phrase Tzion hi doresh ein lo, that Tzion, Yerushalayim, has no one calling after it. Doresh ein lo, no one is looking after it or calling after it. Michlal, says the Gemara, we may derive from there, deboy yidrisha, since the Navi seems to be complaining, as Chazal understood the pasuk, that Tzion has no one looking after it, no one calling for it, no one paying attention to it, means that he's telling us that someone ought to pay attention to it, or to pay attention to Tzion, to Yerushalayim. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got the idea that it's a good idea to remember what used to be in the Beis HaMikdash. This pasuk, Tzion hi doresh ein lo. What does it mean, doresh? I translate it to look after, to call upon. It's interesting that we find the word drisha v'chakira, for example, in Bezdin, to investigate, to look into, and that may be what it means here as well. But there's another pasuk, another phrase in the Chumash, where this word is used, or a form of the word is used, and that is with regard to something that's been lost, to an aveda. It says that if you find something that belongs to somebody else, right? You have certain simonim, certain indications who it is, so you have to hold on to it, adrosh achicho, so until the owner, your friend, your brother, your fellow Jew comes looking for it, you should hold on to it, adrosh achicho, so vashevo solo. And then you return it after he comes looking for it. So we find by the dinim of Aveda, a lost item in Halacha, there's a concept of somebody being doresh, somebody looking for it, somebody paying attention to it. Now, those who studied the laws of Hashavas Aveda know that we also have a concept in Hashavas Aveda, in the dinim of Aveda, of Yeyush. Yeyush means, in effect, that the owner has abandoned hope of ever retrieving this item again. If you find a pen on the subway in New York, there's no marking, it's an ordinary big pen, so you don't have to look into how do I return it. The person who lost it, for sure, has no hope of ever retrieving this, and he's, in effect, given up, has abandoned ownership, he has no plan that he's going to get it back, and therefore, the finder in such a case may keep it. That's because of an assumption called Yeyush, that the Baal, the owner, is Yeyush, he's abandoned any hope of ever retrieving it. It would appear then that the opposite, that Yeyush and Drisha in this context are opposites. Yeyush is when somebody says, I'm never going to get it back, forget it. And Adrosh Achicha is the person's looking for it, he wants it back. In those cases, you have to hold on to it and return it. And yeah, you can keep it. And a lot of details, a whole parak about it. Again, not for Tishabel. One of the explanations in the Rishonim for the concept of Yeyush is that basically the owner says, Vayli l'chisaron kis. I've lost it. He's upset about it. Maybe, what can I do? I'm never going to get it back. Forget it. I can live very well without it. Yeyush is a statement, I can live without this. I'm not interested anymore. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to get it. I got to move on with my life. And I'm going to move on with my life. Without this item, it's lost. Vayli l'chisaron kis. I'm mocha. That's it. It's gone. Perhaps, as Rabbi Yochanan Zaka understood, that's exactly the attitude that Chazal do not want us to have with regards to Yerushalayim, to the Mikdash, to Tzion. Tzion, he doresh eimo miklal deboi drisha. We can go on very well. We have as a people, it's paradoxical in a way, as a people, we've gone on without Yerushalayim. We've gone on without the Beis HaMikdash for many, many years. And we've done things like Rabbi Yochanan Zaka himself instituted to replace the Beis HaMikdash, to substitute for the Beis HaMikdash, Tfilah B'Makom, Tfilah Tiknum, that we have davening in place of the Korbanos, Meshalma Parmas Hoseino, and many other things that we recall, but we've replaced it. And on the one hand, that indicates the resilience and the co-op, the strength of Klal Yisrael. That even without the Mikdash, even without Yerushalayim, even without the Tzion, we've survived as a people and we've gone on. And we have to. But at the same time, attitude can't be, well, therefore it's unimportant. Who needs it? We don't need it anymore. There were streams of Judaism in the last couple hundred years who picked that up as a banner, that we don't need it anymore. But that's not our approach. And Tisha B'Av comes once a year to remind us that as well as we've done in many, many ways, as a people surviving, more than surviving, thriving, building, rebuilding, and so on, building Makomos Torah, Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, Yeshivas, and so on, as well as we've done, in terms of setting up communities with Kashrus, and with Mikvos, and with Erevin, with everything that we need, nonetheless, Tzion Hi Doresh Ein La. It can't be, well, we're pretty good, we're satisfied, we don't need it. We don't need the Mikdash, we don't need Yerushalayim. We've done well enough without it. A lot of the year, we perhaps think that way, but at least once a year, we're called upon to recall that that's not the case. Tzion hi doresh ein la. We have to be doresh tzion. We have to try, to the extent that we can, to think about what we've lost, what we no longer have, what Yerushalayim represented, what the Mikdash represented, and there are many, many things that we can talk about, and now's not the time. But during the course of Tisha B'Av, as we read Megillas Eicha, we read the reflection of what once was Yerushalayim, the beauty, the majesty of Yerushalayim, which is not what it was. We read about the tremendous personal suffering that was endured by the people alive at that time, were killed at that time, whose families were exiled at that time. We look back and we recognize that our history as a Jewish people was permanently altered, permanently shaped by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, both the first Beis HaMikdash, which we read in Megillas Eicha, and the second Beis HaMikdash, which we recall in some of the kinnis and so on. And as well as we've done, things are far from perfect. And so, many times in the course of the year, we reflect on the opportunity to do mitzvahs, the opportunity to learn Torah, and we live in a time where we're blessed, we're fortunate, so blessed, probably more so than our parents, grandparents, and recent generations for sure, to be able here in Eretz Yisrael to have most of this Torah and learning, whether it's Daf Yomi and Shiurim, and everything we possibly need, you know, as a Jewish community. And it's easy to forget and say, hey, everything's good the way it is now. So at least once a year. Really, you're supposed to be Meitzah, the Shulchan Aruch says, the very beginning, Siman Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're supposed to be Meitzah on the Beis HaMikdash all the time. It's hard to do it. You don't want to be depressed all the time. But I'll call upon him once a year, Tzion Hidoresh Ein Lo Michlal Deboi Drisha. We dare not have an attitude of Yeyush in the sense of Vayli Chason Kis, who needs it, I can live without it, I don't need it anymore. And Tisha B'Av reminds us of that. And therefore it behooves us during the course of Tisha B'Av, I would think, to try and reflect through the recitation of Kinnas, through things we might read or might think about or discuss, I think what the Beis HaMikdash was, what we had, what we don't have today, what we can perhaps work towards today, and if we keep that spirit of drisha, of continuing to pursue, we continue to call upon our lives, then we'll find what that very same passage in the Gemara says, almost strangely. The Gemara asks, not in the context of Sukkah, but in the context of, rather not in the context of Lulav, but in the context of the other topic brought up there, the Gemara expresses the concern, the worry, so to speak, that Meheri Yabana Beis HaMikdash. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt very quickly and people will mix up Dinan again. The detail is not important now. But Meheri Yabana HaMikdash, when there's Drisha, when there is concern, when there is a sense of calling upon and not a sense of Yeyush in the spirit of Eilich Eslachar Sarkis, I don't care anymore, but rather in the sense of Drisha, of looking into the Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim and so on, then we'll be zochet to see Meher Yibana HaMikdash, may it come speedily in our time.